Mr. John?
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. You are in the BCC conference room for our 9 a.m. general discussion. In attendance is Commissioner DeYoung and Commissioner Fowler. By phone, we have Commissioner Morgan.
Good morning.
Item one is economic development request for Josephine County Library District, which would be Kate Lasky. How are you?
Good. Should I come up here?
Yes, please. Take a chair and talk to us about why it would be to our community's advantage to help fund this.
Broadband access is critical to the lives of residents in the 21st century, and rural broadband access is an issue not only in the state but in the nation. Our rural community members do not have access in Wolf Creek. In Illinois Valley, it was spotty. It has improved since we began this project. The Federal Communications Commission has a program for schools and libraries to build out broadband. I know that our state and nation are working on other opportunities for broadband access for rural communities, but right now we're working with what we got. And that's the USAC or E-Rate program. And it's based on the school lunch formula. So our reimbursement rate is 95% for the build out. So for a $246,000 project, the federal government will reimburse 95% of it.
Explain the school lunch program. What do you have to do with the school lunch program?
You know, I can't explain bureaucracy, Mr. DeYoung. I don't know why.
That's a good answer.
I don't know why.
That's a really good answer. I like that. Okay.
I'm not being flippant. I honestly don't know why they use that formula.
I go, gee, what does that have to do with it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's children in poverty, and it's based on how many people qualify for school lunch program. Uh-huh. And in our community, our rates are so high that we no longer fill out the paperwork. We just have free lunch for all. We're the highest rate.
I get that. I was just saying, did we create that number rather than just say, because I had a friend of mine that his daughter was over at Fruitdale School one time, and they called and said, oh, girls, they were kicking a soccer ball. Like, come in, it's lunchtime. I said, we don't want lunch, we're just here. And the lady called them over and said, if you don't come in and go through that line, you'll have to leave the schoolyard. Yeah. Because they were trying to rack their numbers up. They had to get their numbers up because everything went on this school lunch program.
No, there's always one in every crowd, but not everyone is like that.
Okay.
We are not like
I just
that.
Happen to run into the one every time I look at it.
So this would be leveraging other money, but you said something about a payback? Yeah, you said they were going to cover 90...
They cover 95%.
So you're asking economic development request, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Please go.
For your match, the 5% match.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So how much is the match?
It's 36,000 total. Depending on which project you're looking at, there's a Category 1 and a Category 2. This is just Category 1, which is just the build-out. We're also filing Category 2. And this is the match that we have to pay, which is actually $32,000.
Okay, well, I'd like to get one of those when you get a chance.
You can have mine.
You have that one?
Yeah. And it is... $16,000 has been secured by the Carpenter Foundation for the same project.
So now we're down to
$16,000 request.
Okay.
And the district is putting some money forward, and we have a proposal out to Cheney Foundation to offset some of this cost. And it's for 2 years, not just 1 year.
You keep whittling this down. Pretty soon you're gonna walk out the door and say, gosh, I've got this all covered. Why didn't I?
That's what we're supposed to do. Okay. I wanna get it all covered because for us, this is an enhanced library service, not basic service. And our tax rate only covers basic service. And okay. We wanna do this build out. Once the build out's done, it's done.
Well, and can others connect up to your stand up?
That's up to Hunter Communications, so we won't own the line.
Right.
And Hunter currently is running commercial, but they are looking at doing residential.
Is there a maintenance fee involved with this contract, and there's so much a year that you're going to have to cough up?
Yeah.
To upgrade and updates?
It'll always be the 5% portion remaining. And then if it, because there's category one and category two in the E-rate program.
$36,000 is going to come back again next year?
I suppose you could look at it that way.
I mean, if it's that 5%, that's 36 grand, so.
Yep, it comes back.
Then it would come back, but it would come back under maintenance rather than
right.
The initial buildup.
So you guys would be able to absorb that.
We are, and we'll pay a portion every year for our service, but not the complete portion.
And the first 36 is for the buildup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it will just be dues.
Mm-hmm.
For maintenance after that. That makes sense to you? You're over there, I see you rolling your eyes.
I'm just wondering about new fiber running out to Wolf Creek, how they're doing it, how they're getting there. And they're basically putting in new infrastructure, which could be interesting to us.
They are. And it's going...
Is it going by Wolf Creek and
it's going
somewhere else?
South to north. Up, and it actually has four times that it crosses the highway. I'm not the project manager on that, so knowing why it's crossing the highway, I'm not 100% sure.
Must be terrain.
I'll follow up with Hunter directly.
They, of course, and they have easements out right now. We don't have all of our easements back for the project.
Okay.
So they have it.
Physically, you're pretty close to the school, too. I don't suppose they have good internet.
We actually are in a consortium with them, and they applied with us for the same project, which made us a more attractive project for Hunter.
Oh, good.
Because there's two of us working together.
Yeah.
The more, it's just like anything else, when you run a line out past Burns, you know, you're only feeding a ranch every 15 miles.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it.
It's not a target-rich environment.
When you get more saturation, then it becomes more attractive.
I think Hunter wants to get up into Douglas County and compete with Douglas Fiber.
Uh-huh. So pressing towards the border.
I think so. But that's not my business. My business is
about as close to the border as you're going to get, because the next hop over the next hill is Glendale, and that's in Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think that the county is a great partner on a project like this, because I think we have a common mission to make sure all residents, including our rural remote area residents, have what they need for lifestyle in the 21st century, which is essentially internet access.
Well, I think if we just wrap our arms around the county, we could care less what their ulterior motive is going into Douglas County, because in getting there, they're going to service us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the important
thing. And for what it's worth, which is probably quite a bit, this was a public bidding process mandated and monitored by USAC and the Federal Communications Commission. So what we had to do was post our project in their portal and receive bids, and then we had a public meeting when we opened the bids
and
reviewed them.
Is Hunter and the contractors, do they have like qualified bidders before they start in? So in other words, Mike Weber Communications fires off a bid and they don't even know who Mike Weber is. Would they throw that one out? Is it qualified people?
It's a very strict process.
Okay.
We had to actually contract with a consultant to be able to manage the process.
Because I don't know anything about IT, but I would imagine, like in John's world, just not anybody's allowed to connect to the fiber optic network.
I think they have to qualify.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. If they have to be pre-qualified to even consider having access to the grid.
They do.
To the motherboard or whatever they call that.
They do.
Big brother.
Yeah. We had three bids.
Okay.
Good. Commissioner Morgan, do you have any comments on this one?
You know, I thought the application was put together really well, and showing the match for all of it, you could see the economic component for the community. And if there's funding there, I think it makes sense. Hunter is a very reliable, trustworthy company.
Very good. I'm certainly for it. I think this is exactly the kind of thing our community's hoping for, is that the backbones
would somehow go in without them having to pay individually. Mm-hmm. So when a public entity is able to be the catalyst on that, it works to our advantage. So
So your ask is for total about 36?
16.
No, 16.
It's a 16 match of Carpenter Foundation.
And we take this to the joint economic development?
This will just come out of our economic development.
Or just come out
funds.
Of Josephine County's economic development. Mm-hmm. Our.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think because of the location of the project, yeah. The City of Grants Pass probably would not be interested in helping.
Did we receive from Arthur yet where all of our economic development dollars
no,
have been?
No, he's working it out for this budget year so we can see
okay,
it all.
Okay, well, I'm in favor of submitting this with one of our asks so he can get that in the list. Mm-hmm. Do you need a motion to that effect?
I would.
I make a motion that we earmark $16,000 from our economic development fund from Josephine County's economic development fund towards this project, the request for Josephine County Community Library District.
Excellent. We got a second from Commissioner Morgan. Any further discussion?
Nope.
Okay, well then I'd take the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, that's all three. It passes 3-0. We are very excited.
Thank you. So what I'd ask of you is to continue to...
Something else?
Yes, I'm always there with more.
After a yes.
Consider us a partner in your broadband build out and these types of IT projects because we have access to grants and we have a team of grant writers who can support that. So please think of the library when you're thinking about this type of work, because it's in our mission to get people access to information.
Well, and while you're digging up there or stringing along the side of the road, whatever they're doing, that Wolf Creek Inn is also kind of a community center of sorts, like mm-hmm. your library is, and they have community meetings there and stuff, so if there's any way to include them or go right by them so they could be added on. I just mentioned that along the way they might have their own funds available for increasing their internet access.
Yep.
You need a logo or a battle cry for the library, you just said it. And it was your job is to get information to people.
Mm-hmm. Information access, that's my job.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people just think the library is a bunch of books, but I think when you turn that into our job is information access for all.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
That's fantastic. I love that. When you said that, I never looked at it like that. But that's basically broadening the purpose of the library in just one sentence. Mm-hmm. That's good. I like it.
Good. Good, and we depend on other departments, like the public health department and others, to give us quality information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.
See you later, John.
See you. Item 2 is Information Technology Quarterly Update, which must mean John Cafferty. How are you, sir?
Good morning, commissioners.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. I didn't get to say good morning to you yet. I was so busy when I came in that thing.
I know.
You want this also?
This. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. Try and keep this brief this morning with the ask that we have a at your earliest convenience scheduled executive session to discuss cybersecurity readiness, homeland security, physical plant. Analysis.
This is in response to the tour the other day.
Yeah.
You're going to this is going to be a condensed version of what he said. And do you have that prioritized?
And yes, as far as an IT perspective.
Okay,
and
that's what I want to
And a lot of that ties into, I'm sorry, what?
Is this information that you provided is sitting on my desk? Is it information that you're providing?
No, that was from the Homeland Security meeting.
Okay.
The one I just passed to Commissioner DeYoung is today's agenda.
Gee.
Okay.
And I'd like to wrap into that cybersecurity meeting a discussion about the situation in Tillamook County. They were very generous with their time at the Ogadam Winter Conference, and there was some lessons learned that were, of course, already on our, we were already concerned about them, but they was a basically a great tabletop exercise in what happens in one of these ransomware attacks. And I'd like to bring the board in on what I know. To bring you up to date on what's going on in our world, Office 365, the courthouse will be done as of today. BCC is the last department in the courthouse, and then we're going to start moving towards external departments, hopefully public health this week. And the theme what's important to us right now is that more and more of the solutions to today's problems, coronavirus, cybersecurity issues, potential physical plant threats, is the ability of workers to work remotely. And IT structure at our county was not built with remote workers in mind. The model is typically a worker comes in, they're supervised locally, they share a file share, an S drive, they email each other, they call each other. How do we make that work when they're not in the same building? And so some of the things that we can do right away, we can, and other things we can't quite yet. Office 365 is one of those tools. It allows workers to work as a team, to share files, to communicate, to chat, to send pictures, to send non-traditional file documents to each other in an environment. It's in the cloud, but it's just like they're on the same network. It's in the same building.
John?
Yes, Lily.
Are you able to get us Office 365 accounts with the new URL, or are we on our old email addresses?
Both. So the Office 365 is the new URL, but your email will still work on both domains. But the Office 365 environment is going to be the josephinecounty.gov email address.
Cool, thank you.
Okay. So Office 365, just timely, last year we moved from a traditional Windows office environment to Office 365, not anticipating this, but knowing that there's some advantages to Office 365. Now we're working harder to push it out more quickly. In the event that this issue gets worse, public health will be able to work remotely better than they can right now. Right now we can support about 30 to 40 concurrent remote workers. That's with our current infrastructure. In order to double that, we would need another server, which we have not budgeted for. We typically have never had 30 to 40 remote workers. We've had 10 remote workers at any one time. So anticipating that that may change, it would be another $15,000 to get another server that allows access for remote workers. There's lots of ways you can work remotely. We have to find out the safest way to do it. And try and build that. Because when you're talking about remote workers, you're talking to people that might live in rural areas like Wharf Creek. Their internet's not very good. They may be using a non-domained machine, non-county machine that may have picked up their, you know, whatever viruses people pick up in the public. And we have to protect ourselves from that kind of connection.
Are we getting the cart before the horse and anticipation of Hunter Communication getting, like you mentioned, Wolf Creek, out to that remote area? Or do we, do we put this, pay $15,000 for this another server, and then when they get that out there, we're ready for them to come on board if somebody's remote out there?
We can control what we control. We can't control Wolf Creek or Williams internet right now, but we can certainly set up the structure so that the 85% of our workers
have
good connection.
Do we not allow somebody to say, no, I'm going to take my laptop home and I'm going to work out of Wolf Creek, I'll just tag on to some other thing and send it in? Does that put us at a vulnerability when they do that?
It just wouldn't work well, and it would take support from IT to support bad situations. An example is Skype. We could be set up to run a Skype interview very well, but if the interviewee has bad internet connection, that bad equipment, you're not going to get a good interview.
Yeah.
And then that means an IT person is supporting somebody who has got a problem that's not fixable. Right now we might have, 5 hours a week of support for our remote workers. If we triple the amount of remote workers, now we're looking at, a full FTE to support those people.
Well, before we go to Williams and Wolf Creek and spend a ton of money out there, do we have any employees that want to do that from Williams and Wolf Creek?
Don't know, but we're just controlling the infrastructure.
I mean, I don't want to spend a bunch of money because one person figures they want to stay home.
Yeah, this is
and work from home that day, and for kids are homesick or whatever, I'm okay with that. But I don't want to put in a whole new tentacle out there for one person.
We're not doing that. Yeah, okay. We're not making a connection to rural areas. We're only saying on our side of the connection that we will have the infrastructure to support it.
We'll have the infrastructure. If they ever get improvement out there, we're ready to put them on there.
Well, and I'm intrigued by the thought of a second server. Is the whole United States going to start thinking about remote working and all those servers are going to disappear?
You betcha.
Do we need to get in line for that? What are the other advantages besides remote working of having that second server?
So server's probably not an issue, but your point is well taken. We're already having problems with iPhones in the supply chain. iPads could be a problem. Laptops are slower. So we're over ordering laptops right now. I just ordered 25 yesterday. And we are replacing more workstations with laptops than ever before. So I'm going to be carrying more inventory than we typically do. We typically try to order just 5 laptops at a time, knowing that we'll roll them out in the next 2 months so that we don't have inventory sitting around. But there's going to be supply chain issues for some of this stuff, depending on how long it goes. So we are trying to get ahead of that. We also have talked to Commissioner Fowler about increasing our bandwidth. Right now we have a 100x100 internet connection, just like what Kate was talking about. In order for people to connect to our internet, we're increasing that to 400x400. That means 400 megabits of data per second going up and down, which is a very large increase over what we are doing now. Because prices have come down for bandwidth, we're not looking at a large increase in costs to the county. There'll be a contract on your desk to review in the next week, and legal's already given me the sign off on it. So there are roadblocks to remote workers. There's the bring your own device potential problems. Our infrastructure is not set up with that model in mind. So some of the COOP outcomes from the exercise, the tabletop last month, would be things like where are our forms if we can't get to them on the S drive? Can we put them someplace that anyone can get to them in a remote location? Are people even used to talking to one another on the phone, or are they relying on just flow issues that have worked for them in the past? As different people touch documents as they move through a department, have they thought about how that can be handled if they're not at work? Those kind of things. Employee home internet. They may have, they literally may have dial-up. It's not going to work in a remote worker's environment. DSL is going to work not very well either. So do they have a 60 megabit connection, that kind of thing? Are we, anticipating those kinds of issues? We're looking at security and cloud solutions that were not on our radar previously. I will talk more about that in the executive session, but there's some potential solutions out there as the cybersecurity hackers get more and more sophisticated. Of course, the market creates responses to those intrusions, and they want to sell them. And some of them, within limited dollars, are probably worth our time to look at, and others probably not. So going through that process takes some time. We're increasing our abilities to manage secondary sites. So we recently put a PoE switch out at Search and Rescue so that we can make, if that's used as a secondary site, that it can be used and connect to our internet, our domain. Same thing with Ann Basker. We're going to be making that more robust right now. It works well for what we do, but it doesn't work well if the clerk needed to move counting ballots over to Ann Basker.
Or maybe at least opening ballots.
Yeah. In that realm, I sent out an email a few days ago about the potential for COVID-19 being potentially used as a cybersecurity phishing entry point. It's something that we're all interested in. We get information. Those emails are loaded with links. And there's already been instances of fake CDC websites going up and people being attracted to them by clicking on a link and bringing down agencies by connecting to them. So that's something that's high on our agenda, is to make sure, just try to get people to think more and more about not clicking first, going to the website on their own. Second. Website. So the website's getting fairly close to showing the board. On March 17th, IT is getting trained on how to work in the back end of the website. So shortly after that, we would like to have a session where we show the commissioners what the website is looking like, and then we will have a training shortly after that to bring in, train the trainers from the different departments with an idea that we would be going live sometime in April, May. So that's still moving ahead. Jason, who is heading up the website process, has been pulled into the COVID-19 issue, and so he is less working on the position on the website, but we should be fine as far as moving forward.
And it's greatly appreciated.
Oh, thank you, sir. The last thing that I have on my department update is that GIS currently is funded by cartography or by recordings. So someone records a deed, $5 from that deed goes into the GIS fund, and it funds GIS. It's allowable under Oregon law, and it was put in by the board maybe 8 years ago. The money, though, for recording is volatile. It goes up and down, and it's not been what it used to be. And so GIS started to develop a gap between the money that was coming in and the money that was going out about 3 years ago. So we came to the board from an IT perspective and said, what about having the departments that pay in, that get the most out of GIS, parks, public works, the DA, people who use public health, not so much, but that get the dominant share of Bob's work, having them pay $3,000 a year. And that doesn't completely close the gap, but it moves us forward some 5 years before we get into a situation where GIS is not funded again. So one of the department heads wasn't too happy about that, and they wanted to see if it could be an ISF department as opposed to funded through these departments who use the services the most. I don't really have a stake
in it. Have you run this by Arthur to see what his suggestions are? I mean, if you have... In my mind, if you have a gap, you need to have options where it can come from, and Arthur can tell you that. I can't tell you if the ISF will absorb that or not. I don't know that.
And so that the decision to do the 3,000 per department came out of the board, and Arthur, I mean, it's not a huge portion of what the ISF fund is, and I don't really care where the money comes from as long as GIS is funded.
Well, that, yeah, I think our goal is to get GIS funded, but if I like I said, where it's coming from, I think I would like options from Arthur as to where it can come from.
So why don't we wait until Arthur's back?
And if the ISF can absorb it, I don't know what the total is in the ISF. We're going to go into budget.
They just
took
a jump in fees for this year, too.
What's that?
They just did a jump in fees.
So $24,000 is the amount that we raise out of these departments. And
but is that sufficient? You say that closes, that shrinks the gap, but does it close it? What would it take to close it?
Okay.
I think I think I would rather, if we're going to have an ask and we're going to be looking for money to fix a problem, let's see what it is, what's the total to fix it.
Okay. I'll bring that to Arthur, and we'll come to the board later with that.
Okay.
I do think it's fair to charge the departments that use it more. Yeah.
Right.
I think that makes sense.
But doesn't the departments that use it more put more into the ISF? If they're contributing more to the ISF, maybe that's the place because it's automatic. I don't know that connection, and I think that's where Arthur would come in handy. But I'd rather look for the whole ask to close that gap, because GIS is it's important, and Bob does a fantastic job down there. Yeah. So he really showed his stuff during fire season. I was very impressed. So let's see what it was going to take. I'd be interested in that.
Okay. So I don't have anything else for the board except that I'd like to, if it suits the board, get the executive session on the agenda when you can.
Yes.
I emailed Wally. I think he's out of the office a little bit this morning, so I emailed to see if maybe we can do it tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
If Mr. Fowler can clear his schedule from an advisory board meeting. So,
yep.
And
whatever it takes.
Mr. DeYoung's open.
Okay. Any questions for me, commissioners?
No. Did you, what about that server we talked about for $15,000? Should we order one?
We could. It's not in the budget. Doesn't mean that I won't have room for it, but I would go ahead with the board's okay on that.
I usually, you know what kind of, you were coming down to budget season, so you know if you've got 15 in there that you haven't spent. So if you've got it there, I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I am too, and I think it's good to have redundancy and the expansion capability.
Do you need a motion from us to do that?
I would bring it to the board later if in supplemental budget if it didn't fit.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Let's explore that.
Yep. Much appreciated, sir. Anything else from you, Commissioner Morgan?
Well, regarding GIS, the only thing I would say is opportunities for departments that maybe don't use it now that maybe could be utilized to help get information to our community. And maybe down the road is an outreach opportunity.
Okay, thank you. All right, item 3 is review Fair Board minutes. Commissioner DeYoung, did you have a chance to look at these?
I don't have them on my desk, but I did look through them. I have them on my desk. I don't have them here, but I did look through them, and yeah, everything looked pretty good.
Okay.
They have a really good minute taker over there.
Good deal. We have a few minutes in a row here. 3, 4, 5, and 6. See, 4 is review Animal Shelter Advisory Committee minutes. Item 5 is review Emergency Medical Services Advisory Committee minutes. Item 6 is review Addictions Mental Health Public Health Advisory Committee minutes, or AMPAC. Any comment on those, Commissioner Morgan?
No, there's several from Animal, it looks like, in here, and we've been going through a process for several months of trying to get just processes of, well, every month we get a report on cats and such like that, but we're also trying to get consistency in permitting process and fees and such like that. So they did do February 1st oh, this was going to tell us about it upcoming, but it was successful, a homeless Oregon pet project where they were assisting shelter friends with giving shots and stuff like that out there. Let's see. So on the animal shelter one, I think they're getting close to getting the kennel stuff and the permit stuff updated. This last meeting was while I was in D.C., and there's new minutes coming for that. We'll see soon, but we're getting close. And then as far as the EMS board, it just looked like the notification where Dennis Hope resigned. I'm still hoping to try to see if we can get grants for AEDs across the county. And they were talking about doing a training, a Stop the Bleed training in schools through the AMR. The next meetings, we had another member move, and they had a Asante replacement available to do that. So those are the big ones there. We're still waiting for the stuff back from the state on the reports we submitted. And then we have minutes from the December meeting for AMPAC, and it was pretty straightforward. It was just kind of a update on why the committee was formed and an update on we were going to do bylaws, but I think this is the one we didn't have a quorum. Maybe the January. Our last meeting we didn't have a quorum, so they couldn't take any action. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This one was all care did a presentation on the CCO 2.0, and it was a great presentation and very informative. So that's all I have.
So four through seven, 4 through 6 is okay with you?
Yep. Or 4 through 6 three for you.
Yep. 3 for me is fine.
And so we can move those forward to a consent calendar?
Right. I can't comment on the others because I wasn't at the meeting, so I wouldn't know if the minutes are correct or not.
Sure. Okay. So yeah, we'll.
Can you make that motion?
To move them forward on a consent calendar?
For each of them, yeah.
Yeah?
Sorry.
Sure.
Yes.
Commissioner DeYoung, I'd entertain a motion for the Fair Board minutes.
I make a motion that we accept the Fair Board minutes.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 So 3-0 on item 3. Item 4 is the animal shelter.
I move that we move forward on those.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And aye.
Aye.
That one makes 3-0. How about emergency medical services?
Make that motion on that as well.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor, please
aye.
Say aye.
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 And aye, that one's 3-0. That leaves us with mental health, public health, or MPAC.
I'll make that motion as well.
Second.
All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And aye, okay, all those can move then. Item 7 is additional subject matters from commissioners. I got one from the fire district, or fire protection committee, Freudian slip. They asked permission to do a feasibility study. And I was a little concerned about having them get ahead of our consultant. But I said I'd ask the rest of the board and see if that's something we want to give them permission to do.
So we have a consultant going forward with that, do we not?
Haven't chosen it yet, but yes. And so I think it's a chance for the committee to accidentally get ahead of the consultant, and so I'd rather ask them to wait.
If a feasibility study is in with the consultant, I think that's what we're paying them to do.
Got to keep my 6 feet away.
Yeah. Just a minute. I'm going to be a little muffled, Lily. I'm putting my mask on while you're sneezing into the phone.
Does the RFQ say anything about?
It does. It mentions that the consultant can do the feasibility study.
Can do or shall do?
I don't believe it says shall.
Because if you go to a consultant and you don't lay out what you're going to do, then the feasibility study could be just eliminated and be done with it. And that's maybe what they're looking at to say, we'll do the feasibility on our own and let the consultant not do that. That may be it.
But I think the committee could hold the, when we decide to choose one, we'd say, hey, you didn't answer the RFQ because you didn't answer the feasibility study piece. And so.
And there's another piece to it that some members of the committee had a feasibility study they had created before the committee started. And so where we had asked for all options to be looked at, this has a conclusion already predetermined. And I think their concern was saving us money, but at the same time, the goal was to look at all options equally and fairly with an outside consultant so that it could be unbiased and have an outcome that actually, with it being unbiased, then you could defend it, but it did call for that feasibility study as well.
Okay, so I'm thinking I'm going to tell them just to hold off and we'll see what product the consultant puts out.
Okay.
Thank you for that advice.
I went along with that. And then when you and I went out for that meeting, they did not accept the SWOT study. Did they have time? They wanted to review that. They wanted like a week to review that, make any corrections or anything to it. Did they do that and get that back to you?
They looked at it again, but found that there was a lot of opinion in there and it wasn't just facts. And so they asked staff to take a look at eliminating the parts that were opinion and not just facts. And then one of the persons in charge of writing it, one of the authors, has decided they don't want any of their information in there and has asked the county to make an adjustment based on that, take out everything that person put in. So that conversation is probably going to finish up tonight, or at least be breached. So we'll find out tonight. I think we're going to leave it as a draft, that SWOT, and have it not adopted by the group, and then the consultant still may be able to use that information.
And the consultant may need to weed through it, take the bits and pieces.
Yeah.
If it's in draft form, they can pick and choose.
Right. And so that's going to be my suggestion, but we'll see where the committee goes.
All righty.
Any other additional subjects or matters from commissioners?
None for me. I won't be here this afternoon, so I think we've moved the legal update until 10.
Until 10, yes. That's in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Will you make it to the meeting? Oh, no, it's only Tuesday. Tomorrow at 5:30.
Tomorrow. Is tomorrow's meeting at 5:30?
It is.
Here?
Here.
Okay, as long as it's here, we're going to be golden.
Yeah. I asked Michael Weber to do an update.
Yeah, I think that's
on the virus. Coronavirus. Yeah, so he's going to come and do that at the beginning of that meeting. He has another commitment at 6.
There's an awful lot of hype out there.
Yeah, so we want to let the community know what we're doing and that we're on it. So.
I know. I think probably cruise tickets. Now would be the time to buy cruise tickets.
I know, right? It is a...
Hello! Nobody there.
It's so interesting, the economic impacts on top of the health impacts.
I would be interested, and it'd just be an exercise to find out, for instance, in the military, they're in Hong Kong, they're all over the Orient, they're confined on a ship. How many outbreaks, how many coronaviruses do we have in the U.S. Navy?
Yeah, and I'm sure that number's probably going to be a guarded secret for a while.
Well, I mean, there's no getting away. You can't just say, well, I'm gonna quarantine myself because there's nowhere to quarantine your shaft alley. I guess you could live down there, but I wouldn't suggest it. But I was just thinking about that the other day. I've heard nothing about the military yet at all. And
I'm sure they're cautious in giving out that information.
Yeah.
But we shall see over the next few weeks how this is going to affect mass gatherings, schooling, big public entities.
Being a gambler, I'd take that bet. You know the odds of getting that virus are so far out there, and then the people that we see that are having troubles with it are over 70, heart condition, lung conditions, and so on and so forth. And, you know, rather than healthy people.
Yeah.
It's a concern. I get that.
Sure.
But I think there's, I put it this way. It'd be like me counting on winning the lottery. And I'd be stupid to do that.
Any comments from you, Commissioner Morgan? Anything left?
Well, I wanted to make sure that we as a board maybe considered, do we put out a statement as far as encouraging the community? Or I like what you asked with Mr. Weber. I also saw that HR put out an email to to employees, stay away if you have symptoms. So we may have to discuss of what happens if you have employees that have symptoms that are out of sick leave. Do they come to work? Do they not? What's the outcome? You know, and flu still remains to be a concern, obviously. But having a countywide policy or status on it would maybe be wise for us to address. I know Jackson County put out a kind of an educational piece, and that might be something we consider about just seeing if there's any out there that we... I forwarded some stuff to Michael Weber and John McCafferty as well about what some other counties are doing for remote access and just availability and systems and such, but just wanting to make sure that we're proactive and keeping the community informed.
Yep, sounds good. Anything else for the good of the order?
Not for me.
All right, well, let's take a 13-minute break, and we'll do this again at 10 o'clock.